I am Carol Palmer. I'm the food systems specialist with the COPE program, and I've been doing outreach to growers and communities for many years now.
Hello, I'm Gloria Ann Begay, and I'm with the Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance, and I've been working with this nonprofit organization a few years. We started it up to help with traditional food system research and also promoting Navajo traditional foods.
And I'm originally from Dalcon, and that's where I still have made my home with my husband, Michael Hester. And let's see, my husband and I are with Coffee Pot Farms. We've been doing this at about 2 years. This year, we're just now getting into marketing and learning how to do the business side of food. How do we sell food? How do we grow it for a market so that way we are consistent? And I guess it goes back to making sure that we have food security in our communities. So that's a little bit about what we're doing in Dalcon.
Sherilyn, will you also be involved with the Healthy Kids Symposium at Star School on July 18?
Yes, I will be participating in a discussion, doing some, I think it'd be question and answer session during the symposium.
Carol, why don't you talk a bit about how COPE began collaborating with different organizations such as the Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance? And while we talked with Kern about this the last time, how do you see these organizations working in the future with each other and with the communities?
Well, the background of COPE is that it began more as clinical outreach, working with the IHS and 638 entities around the region and on Navajo. And so through that was the realization of the critical nature of the food desert and the lack of food accessibility for people, and that was something that really does require a group effort to address. And so the people who were initially with COPE at that time started looking at what is happening in the community and who are other partners that COPE needs to collaborate with in order to strengthen the efforts that are happening. Because there are some great things happening, but everybody is really spread out.
And Gloria, just to remind our listeners, what's happening on Thursday, July 18th?
The partners and collaborators for a group, now we're called the Dene Food, Dene Farm to School Group. And what we're doing is organizing a one-day event out at Star School, and that's near Flagstaff, Arizona, to bring farmers and school programs together. And we want to talk about how can we work together, how can we get children to have fresh produce in their school menus. Well, Sherilyn, I was very impressed with the way you had switched careers. And if you could tell the audience maybe what your former career was and maybe why you switched over to the food growing and marketing aspect, I think people would be kind of understanding how passionate now you are with what you're doing in your current career.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, my background originally is a social worker. When I was young, I always wanted to help people. I thought that was very important. My mom had a little bit of time doing social work, case management jobs. And so I got my degree in that, and I was able to work in here back at home, my first job at Dalcon Community School with the residential. And we worked with kids, and I just really enjoyed working with young children and try to, you know, sometimes they just need somebody to talk to year-round, to say hi, just have a conversation. And so that was my first job with children. And then I wanted to do something bigger. I wanted to figure out how to make more impact on a bigger level. So in 2004, I got a job as a program manager with Navajo County Public Health Services. And there I was able to do more program management with nutrition services and did a lot of program management, grant administration, grant writing. At one point I had, you know, several, you know, about seven employees that worked for me. And we did cover from Apache County and Navajo County. And then with another program, we partnered with Coconino County. So we were doing a lot of nutrition education from 0 to 5 years old, all the way into kindergarten to eighth grade. And I had my staff, you know, doing a lot of direct education. And so they would go into the schools and provide nutrition education there. And I did a lot of the work when we're starting something. I would go in and make sure that the classes, you know, made sense. So I tried to do a lot of the teaching myself when I could. But, you know, as the program got bigger, I wasn't able to do that anymore. So that's where being in the classroom, I saw kids, talked with them. And again, you know, a lot of them, you know, they said they had families that had different diseases, health, chronic diseases. I remember there was a student, sixth grade, he talked about how he had high blood pressure and he didn't know what that meant. And it was kind of eye-opening. And again, it was scary to hear kids have these different chronic diseases. And so that's where it kind of hit me that I didn't feel like just providing nutrition education was going to cut it. It didn't seem like it was fair to tell kids to go home, to tell their parents to offer them more fruits and vegetables, you know, cut down on different unhealthy foods if it wasn't even provided in their community. So they didn't have access to fresh produce. I decided that I needed to figure out why we don't have enough grocery stores, why for convenience stores, you know, offer very limited amounts of fresh produce. And that's where, you know, learning how to garden on a different level. I'm not a dryland farmer. The other part to, you know, learning how to grow food is, you know, climate is changing and I can't rely on the rains the way, you know, my Nolly man or my grandma used to. So I took about 2 years to really figure out how to grow in non-traditional ways. So using a hoop house, a greenhouse, how do you amend soil fast? And so that's how I changed my career from, you know, doing program management to actually, you know, learning how to be a farmer. So then the other part is, you know, how do you grow for a lot of people? And so that's the new part that I'm learning right now is how do you grow for a lot of people and make sure that, you know, you can be self-sufficient from that.
Well, Sherilyn, so this is Carol, and I really just am such a big fan of what you guys are doing. And I'm curious now, what are you growing this year and what's been really successful so far this season?
Lettuce grows really awesome. You know, kale last year, it grows really well out here, but if you don't watch it, it tends to start to grow upwards and it turns into a flower and it wants to seed. So we have some lettuce. We're doing a lot of tomatoes, squash, and let's see, potatoes, beets, chilies. So those are the ones that we have that we're going to offer to the market. The other thing I want to learn or want to know, I guess, is, you know, what do people in the community want? If they were to, what kind of foods are they wanting to buy? You know, how much would they be buying from their local farmers? And then also, how often would we need to be growing these types of foods? And then those are more like market questions, you know, when you're doing customer surveys. But that's really interesting. for me to learn is, you know, what people are interested in. And I know corn is one of the big things that people always ask for. But right now, my Nolly Man's corn field is, we still need to do some repairs and revitalization to that before we can grow something big like corn.
Thanks for those questions about what foods should you grow. And our symposium is asking the question, what are the produces that school menus need? And so we'd like to start working with local growers and farmers and gardeners to address that question, so maybe they can even sell some of their produce over to their local school programs. I would like to maybe at this point just do a quick run over on the agenda for the symposium. We're going to start at Star School, and you know that's an award-winning farm-to-school Navajo program, and it's totally run by solar and wind, and it has all kinds of gardens, even hyperponics. I think that's the way you say it.
Hydroponics, yeah.
And so anyway, they have a lot of interesting, even a hoop house and greenhouses. And it's a pre-K program all the way to eighth grade. Each of the grade levels have to do certain responsibilities to different parts of the school gardens. So everyone's involved. My big question to Dr. Sorensen was, is it in the teacher's description that they have to help with the garden for their jobs? Because everyone is involved in the school gardens, which is very unique. And so we wanted folks to come see this school and see a school garden and farm to school in action everywhere on the school campus. And so we're going to start in the morning at 8:15 with registration up to 8:45. And we'll be in the multipurpose gym on the campus. It's the biggest building on campus, so you can't miss it. And then at 8:45, we're going to have an invocation and a special message by a Navajo practitioner and a health professional, Eric Willie. And he does Navajo blessing ways and various ceremonies besides doing clinical therapy and counseling in the Western setting. Then we're going to have a welcome and opening remarks and a purpose of the gathering, you know, just for 5 or 6 minutes. Then we want to go into how do you really properly introduce yourself using our Navajo clan system, ARC-EH. And this is what Dene Food Sovereignty is trying to promote. And we believe that if we can go back to our clan systems, we can all identify as family and we can treat each other as family and we really will better work together. Then we are going to have a keynote presentation by the Navajo First Lady. We did invite, of course, the president, but he's in another really important conference up on the, what do they call, the Navajo Partition Lands. So it's a very important event going on up there. But we're happy First Lady's going to come and join us. She's always promoting the youth and education and health. So she's going to give a special message on growing our own and future generations. Then we're going to have 3 roundtables that will begin at 9:35. And the first roundtable is going to deal with how do we create a healthy learning environment using school wellness policies. So we're going to have 3 presenters there. Dr. Regina Eddy is going to present her Navajo school meal study. And then we're going to have the Winslow IHS staff there and the Coconino County Health Department who deal with school wellness with schools. And then, of course, Star School is going to share their school wellness policy. Then our second roundtable is going to be the current farmer, garden, and school connection programs out there on the reservation. So we have 3 presenters. And the state of Arizona's public education department, Ashley, is coming in to do, you know, what they do throughout the state in promoting school gardens and those kinds of health, nutrition, and so on. And then our friend Tyrone Thompson from Chiji Farm, he's going to tell us how he works with schools and their gardens. And the same with Sharon Sandman, who's up in the northern area of the reservation. Our third round table is going to be funding opportunities for both farmers and schools. because that's one of the real weak areas, since schools' budgets don't have school garden monies and those kinds of extra resources. So we have our friend with First Nations Development Institute, Jackie Franks, coming in. And then also Rick Lopez with the USDA program, and he's going to share all kind of resources. And we did invite an Arizona funder and a New Mexico funder, but I haven't heard, you know, their replies yet. So we're hoping they can come in and give us maybe some local funding connections. In the afternoon, we're going to break off into small group sessions, and we're going to do local school wellness policies and healthy school meals with Dr. Eddie. And then also we invited the BIE school wellness program staff, and they're busy trying to get back with us. But they have a model school wellness policy already enacted, but they're revising it. So we wanted to know what's going on with that. The second small group session is going to be on garden to cafeteria procurement protocol. And I and Desba Pladilla are going to present that. And it's a kind of like a way that schools are going to be encouraged to set up school gardens and go through the food safety standards and those kinds of activities so that kids can grow their food on the school campus and then serve it at their breakfast and maybe lunch programs. And then there are some big school districts that are even, they're selling their school produce to their own school cafeteria to keep, you know, regenerating the funds to keep those school gardens going. But we're going to be probably role-playing and telling people how that can be done. And the other small group workshop is going to be for farmers as vendors. And that's another weak area we're finding out, is that our farmers and gardeners, you know, have to go through sometimes a rigorous business process. And we were told they need EIN numbers, DUNS numbers, SAMS numbers, and so on like that. So we want to try to help them. We've connected some procurement federal offices to come help do that training. I've contacted NTU's Business Development Office and then the Navajo Regional Businesses offices so that we can start helping, you know, farmers and ranchers and gardeners to, you know, understand how to get their businesses started and become vendors to local schools. I was talking with our friend Bill Edwards, who's with the Tulani Lake Enterprise, and he's going to present to us his new Navajo farmer type of cooperative, so that if farmers and gardeners do not want to go get individual DUNS and SAMS numbers, they can join the cooperative and they can use that system. And that's where these farmers can get together and producers can get together in a local area. And as a cooperative group, they can maybe approach a school. And if the school wants, oh, well, we want carrots and potatoes and certain kinds of items, this cooperative can, you know, work together and generate maybe enough quantity and the types of produce that the schools want. So I think that's exciting. And then Cheryl Yazzie is going to be helping, you know, with that topic. And the last one is doing a tour of Star School. One last comment. We are going to also have a luncheon speaker, our friend Alina Pisano with the National Farm to School Network. And she's going to talk about the new National Garden to Cafeteria Conference that's coming up in 2020 that will be hosted in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And of course, they would like Navajo to come in and maybe showcase some of the things that we're doing here on Navajo. So we'll be going into planning meetings with her.
Gloria, in our prior conversation, we were talking a bit about whether there's been any discussion about camping or lodging opportunities.
Oh, yes. I just got a wonderful email from Dr. Sorensen with the Star School this morning. And he says, yes, people can camp over there on the school campus, but there's going to be no showers available, but at least they can camp there. And there's he's going to send a map of the school campus and show people where they can camp out. And there are campgrounds in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is maybe about 20, 23 miles from Star School. And so that's another good option.
For all of you, I have a question about how we engage youth in raising good food and in understanding that process in our area, particularly. How do you improve the soil? How is compost important in that process? How do you enrich the soil, especially in areas where the conditions may not be optimal? And how do we get youth interested in learning about this and helping?
Well, I think that's a good Sherilyn question since she's amending her soil right now.
So what had got me interested in, you know, a certain technique, which is, it's an Alan Chadwick, John Jevons, these guys from a long time ago. They went to Africa and, you know, I'm going to assume similar kind of conditions in terms of not enough rain and the soils are, you know, very dry. What they were doing is they were doing this method called a double dug method. It's the lasagna. My teacher, Kim Koshin, she calls it the lasagna bed. And so what you're doing is you're taking the dirt and you're digging into it and you're putting amendments in there. So what we've learned, and this is a part of the Green Team, Talani Lake works with Kim. There's many of us probably more on the southwest of Navajo that have been, you know, amending our soils this way, that we take out the dirt about 12 inches down, and then we put cardboard down, and we add in straw or leaves, dry leaves, and then we add on very well-aged manure. And so that's, in a way, what we're doing is creating this like a sponge, and then we add our dirt back on top. And if you do have compost, you can add that into the mix at that time. But this method, what we're doing is helping, we're trying to grow in it very quickly. So if we dug a lasagna bed today, we would be able to grow in it tomorrow. We'd be able to put in starch or seeds into it. Now with the compost method, and that does take some time because you have to gather your material, and we don't have out here on Navajo, you know, leaves, big broad leaves. We don't have grass clippings. So it's a little bit harder because you're going to have to truck in your material. And then what you'll start to do is basically you're cooking that down, and you have to make sure that it reaches a certain temperature, and you're killing all of the, you know, weed seeds or any other kind of bacteria. You're killing that and you're cooking it. And then when it's all cooked down, then you're able to use that and put that compost onto your, into your garden or onto your bed. So there's just two different ways. And I think as a gardener and a farmer, I think I'm learning that you just kind of have to work with what you have and what you're able to afford and what you're able to do at that moment. And so, you know, you can do composting if you have the material. You can do the lasagna bed if you have the material, or if you have access to your cornfields and you're doing dry land farming, then you do that method. It just, to me, it just, whatever works for you and whatever you're able to put into the work that you're doing. And I think how you get kids involved in all of this is you bring in farmers into the schools. You have that discussion, or you go visit them. I know this summer we had the Dene College Environmental Science Camp. They had put on a camp through Talani Lake, and they came out and spent the afternoon with us. And, you know, they came out and they were very surprised at some of the things that they saw, because sometimes you don't think you could grow all of these different foods out here. And so I think that's what you have to do, is you have to just find the farmer in your community, and you need to make a relationship with them and figure out how to work together. Because I know one of the things is from public health, what I know is that schools don't have money, just like you ladies brought up, to do a big program. And then farmers can't expect that the schools will always pay to have them come in. So what I think needs to happen is both of them, if there needs to be a program there, both of them have to look for money together. And they both have to be at the table to write that program and the budget or the whatever activity that has to be done together. You know, I think that's how it needs to happen.
Yeah. And Sherilyn, using whatever's available, does it really matter what kind of manure you use? If you have lots of sheep manure, is that a good one to use?
Then use it, yes. the only thing we do kind of talk about is horse, you know, like the horse, when it only has one digestive system, it goes in, and if you have, it eats weeds and weed seeds and it doesn't get properly digested, you know, sometimes that could come out in your, you know, you could get weed seeds in your lasagna bed. But like I said, whatever you have on hand, whatever you're able to use, again, just make sure that is very well aged. So here at Delcon, my Nala Man had sheep. And so we just kind of use the aged manure. So that sheep is good. Yep, you can use that.
Yeah, something else to consider with the manure, because to me, that's one of the amazing resources that's untapped in this region. But there are a couple of things to think about besides what Sherilyn mentioned, and the regulations require that it be at least 120 days for food crops from the time that it came out of the animal before it might come into contact with a food item, a produce, a crop that's above ground that's going to come in contact with that. But also, especially with horse, and I'm not a big fan of horse manure myself, but the hay, since there aren't regulations on the alfalfa hay that comes through, sometimes there are pesticides on that, or if the animal's had some kind of treatment for worms or something like that, those elements that the animal has in the system can pass through in the manure and affect the crops. So that's something that we really haven't, I don't think there's anybody doing any studies on it on the res right now, but those are the kinds of things that people just think, oh, well, maybe I put the manure on, it was too fresh or something and it killed my crops. But there may be other reasons for that. So I love sheep manure, goat manure, all the other ones, and anything like Sherilyn said, what you have is what you use. And it's an untapped resource.
Gloria, could you remind our listeners how they can register for the STAR Symposium near Flagstaff on July 18th?
They can go ahead and just call or text to me, actually, at 505-923-0378. And if they just leave me their name, their mailing address, email address, and a phone number, we can go ahead and just start adding you to our registration list. So people are just calling in or texting and then even emailing at stargazer.begay@gmail.com. And the information is also on the Dine Food Sovereignty Alliance Facebook.
And then just to clarify, Gloria, since Star School is over by Flagstaff, this is going to be on Arizona time, the Mountain Standard Time, 1 hour behind New Mexico time, correct?
Correct, yeah. It's going to be on Arizona time, more formally the Pacific time.
Pacific Daylight, mm-hmm. Mountain Standard. Yeah, it's all confusing, but 1 hour behind New Mexico time.
Right.
So, so for people in Navajo or Gallup, figure that Gallup time, that's going to be like 9:15 in the morning that you start, and it'll end later.
Right. Yes. Instead of 8:15, it'll be 8:15.
So again, probably the best recommendation for most people who are traveling to the area might be to get into the area the night before and camp or find some lodging, plan on that, and then you can acclimate yourself, make sure your local time makes sense, and then the next morning it'll be easier to get around.
Right, right. And so we're really trying to get the New Mexico side of Navajo to realize a time change and to also, you know, encourage them to come over to maybe stay in Flagstaff or do the camping out the night before.
I am still very interested in how we energize youth, how we get students interested not only in the process of raising food, but in approaching other ways of improving the school lunch programs. Can students have a voice in that, even though it is about money often?
I served on the Gallup School Wellness Policy Committee, and we were meeting on like every other Saturday, and it was for several months, actually. And we did have the youth sitting at the table, and there were probably like about 20 of us. And there were parents there. The youth were there. They voiced, you know, what they wanted to see in the school menu and so on. So it would be very nice to have students involved in what kinds of food they want. But what we're also finding out is that, you know, some of our students are not really used to eating a whole lot of fruits and vegetables is what we're learning. And we developed as DFSA some food games. And the children didn't even know the difference between fruits and vegetables. And they didn't know that French fries came from potatoes and ketchup comes from tomatoes. And that, you know, milk come from, you know, cows. So we have a lot of food literacy and training that needs to happen. And kids are so used to salty, fatty, sugary foods that we're going to have to do some taste testing and promoting, you know, a different taste bud.
For those of us who remember the Reagan administration, there was a time when they tried to convince people who were running school lunch programs that ketchup could be considered a vegetable.
Right. Another approach to that, too, is what Sherilyn and the Green Team are doing. The idea, and we've talked about it a lot throughout this region, of having different demonstration farms that people can visit. And I think that would be one way that youth and people of all ages can get more excited about it. So they see different approaches, not just a big field, but smaller scale things, different technologies being mixed up, traditional dry land, as well as drip irrigation, lasagna beds. You can grow a lot of food in a smaller space, and it's just a question of different strategies. And so these demonstration gardens are ways for people to touch and feel and see. And, you know, we all have all seen the studies when kids actually pick something, and if they help grow something, then they're more likely to taste it and eat it. So those actual hands-on experiences are going to make a difference.
Are you encouraging as many health professionals or providers who can attend to come to this, as well as school personnel?
Oh, absolutely. This is open to all community members, all ages, all interests. I think food is a common thing that unites all of us. And I think everybody's interested in the future of where, how we can support better food for children, students, the staff. The staff don't eat well at these schools either. So
I want to make also another comment, too, about the business of, you know, everyone has to eat. And so we do want to encourage everyone to come to the symposium. And of course, we were trying to target and focus on school, like principals and school board members and food service workers to come. And then, of course, the farmers and gardeners. So every time I've been sending out emails or someone calls me, I'm saying, bring a friend, bring a relative, and even encourage your local principal to come. And I've even been emailing sample principal letters we sent out in May. So, yeah, we want to encourage everybody. And I want to make another comment that the reason why we put the school wellness policy in the program is that in lieu of Navajo Nation is still working on gathering folks to work on the Navajo food policy and agriculture policy, the school wellness policy itself can give the authority to the school through the school board to grow school gardens and then to work with local growers to purchase local produce. But there has to be, you know, check systems and review systems of, you know, how stuff are grown and safety checks and so on like that. And that's what's going to be presented with the Garden to Cafeteria Toolkit.
Very good. Carol, how many members of COPE do you think might be involved with the symposium on July 18th?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure who's able to attend. We have a very small, energetic, busy staff. And so people are in a lot of different directions with other COPE programs, the Healthy Navajo Store Initiative and the Fruit and Vegetable Prescription Program, as well as the other, the Cancer and Training and Outreach. So we'll probably just have a small representation of our particular organization, but this work is ongoing and we're constantly collaborating from all these different directions and avenues to support better food in the region.
And Sherilyn, are you bringing some people with you to the symposium?
Yes. So we have our green team, and these are local farmers that, again, on the southwest side of the Navajo Nation will be attending. I think Gloria mentioned Tyrone is also presenting. So our green team, we have local farmers in all in communities, so like Loop, Delcon, Pisto, Greasewood, Ganado. Right now, that's our green team. And, you know, the schools in those areas could easily tap in and, you know, work with those green team members and reach out to them. They're knowledgeable in how to set up, you know, the non-traditional garden for your schools. And so, you know, I encourage, you know, schools to tap into them, learn about them, find out how you could partner with them and, you know, figure out how you could get to their demonstration sites and, you know, find out how, what they're growing, how they're growing things. And so, so we will have our green team available.
Is there anything else, Gloria, that you might want to mention right now?
We do have a wonderful group of speakers coming to the symposium. All of them are very professional in the types of topics they're going to present. So that usually is a real key success we have found out in doing any of our events and symposiums. So I've recruited some volunteers. Of course, DFSA is more of a volunteer nonprofit organization. So I've been outreaching to our volunteers to come in, help register, help set up refreshments, be a cleanup crew. And Mark Sorensen, I gave him 10-item list. So everyone, Cope, we're having a meeting here in a little while. And so everyone's kind of really pitching in, and it usually turns out very successful. Everybody's so interested and compassionate about these types of topics that people come in, what can I do to help? You know, they'll just come in on site and pitch in and help.
And again, Gloria, if someone wants to go, how would they go about registering? How would they get directions, a map, and make arrangements?
I have asked Dr. Sorensen with Star School to send us a map, how to get to the school, and the other map of the school campus. So he'll be sending that to me in the next day or so. And we'll put it on Facebook. And people that will call in, if they have an email, we can send them the agenda and also the maps.
And the Facebook is Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance. And what else?
Yes. And then if they email to me, thestargazer.begay@gmail.com, I can send them the agenda and the maps.
Okay. And again, what is that text number or cell phone number?
Okay. Yes. That number is 505-923-0378.
Okay. And is the Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance the best place to look for on Facebook?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It has all of our events and the contact information.
Carol or Sherilyn, do you have any closing thoughts?
Just for myself, I think, again, we would love to have as many people come to this event as possible because this is a really important conversation, but it's an ongoing conversation. So if you're not able to make it on the 18th, there will be other events coming up in the months ahead. So we would still, Gloria would love to hear from you. Check out the DFSA Facebook. We'll have information on COPE as well and Coffee Pot Farm. Sherilyn, I'm sure we'll have plenty more as well. So please just keep in touch.
And one more comment. We're going to be doing our annual stakeholders meeting. Usually happens in August. So we're setting a stakeholders meeting on August 21st. And so people can come to that. And we're going to do more look at farm-to-school, Navajo farm-to-school policy development. And that will be the policy development activities. We'll have meetings in subsequent months, usually once a month, for a meeting on that.
And do you know where the stakeholders meeting will be taking place?
I'm looking at probably mae Window Rock, and I coordinate, you know, my work with COPE because we share usually the third Wednesday in the month type of a meeting time and location. So I'd have to converse with them, and so I'm just putting location to be announced, but we want to try to stick to our third Wednesday in the month meetings.
For anyone coming to Star School on July 18, should they plan on bringing plenty of water, box lunches?
I have a good donor that got some money for us to have a lunch, and so Star School will prepare the lunch. It'll be nutritious. That's all they, you know, do at that school is look at nutrition and fresh produce. And I was told, however, there's to be no soda or sweet beverages on campus. That's a no-no on the 18th. And so we will provide lunch, complimentary, and then refreshments also.
And I would think everybody would be responsible for picking up their own trash, if there's any trash.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, and we're trying to get a cleanup crew, but it helps for people to, you know, clean up where they're at.
For everyone to help.
Yes.
Sherilyn, do you have any thoughts as we begin to wrap up today?
I just like to say that, you know, I believe food is our first medicine. And I think that, you know, if we have local food for, you know, families and our children, you know, it would help us to on the path to get to food sovereignty, to where we need to be. And so if, you know, people come out, encourage everyone to come out and listen, you know, find out what people are doing, how you can get involved with your school or with the, you know, how to find a farmer, you know, we'll be there. Or if not, you know, I can connect you with somebody in your area. I'll do the best I can to help you out. But I encourage everybody to show up. You know, it's going to be a good day for people to listen and learn about food.
President Nez asked me to announce that he's still looking for candidates to serve on the Navajo Nation Food Policy Work Group. And he'd like the letters of interest and resumes sent to his staff assistant, Chris Bahi. And so we'll have that on the Facebook also. So he's still looking. He only had like a half a dozen people submit their materials a couple months ago. And so he's still looking for more candidates.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a very exciting symposium and well worth the trip for those who are interested. Have there been any direct invitations to any schools or districts in the area? Or is it mostly through media?
We have prepared some letters, especially to Bureau of Indian Education Programs. At this point, we said, you know, that's kind of like a small school system on Navajo. And they did have a directory. I made calls. I did letters to maybe about 25 BIE schools. We sent one like here to Fort Wingate Elementary, down at Baca at the Lornyaja Elementary School. And so I do have a list of the schools we did send letters to.
If anyone listening is interested in going to the Healthy Kids Farm-to-Table Symposium at Star School, not too far from Flagstaff, Arizona, you can certainly go to the Facebook page, look for Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance. You could also email stargazer.begay, B-E-G-A-Y, at gmail.com, or they could call or text you. And again, that number, Gloria?
505-923-0378.
For those people traveling, you want to get there the night before, obviously. And it will be on Arizona Mountain Standard Time, so basically Pacific Time. So just know that 8:15 local time in the morning for registration starting. 9:15 is Gallup time or Navajo Nation time. So just to know, it's going to feel like you're starting later when you're there. But thank you, everyone. We look forward to hearing more.
Thank you, Rachel.